We want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refreshed is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you from the studios at WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. So we thank you for tuning in today. Do want to start out today by saying thank you to Jits Concrete, 536-5804. They're one of a couple of families that have been at Merit Assembly of God longer than I have. They don't even know exactly what year they came in there, but they've been very faithful through the years, a major blessing. And so they do block and concrete work here in Brevard County. And if you need any help in either one of those areas, you can give them a call. Ask for Greg, 536-5804. Again, that number is 536-5804. They are the concrete company that we use and have used and will use in the future. So they do a good job, and I encourage you to give them a call if they can be any help to you. Also, want to remind you, I mentioned it on yesterday's broadcast as well. If you have any young people who would like to go to summer camp, Shiloh Adventure Camp. I had seen their signs here around here in Brevard County for a number of years. Didn't really know that much about them, but met Laura here a few weeks ago, and they have camps that run every week from June the 7th all the way up through July the 31st. They're a Monday through, it looks like a Monday through Friday camp. And if you would like to participate, they're at a brand new location this year. And so if you would like any information, it's a not-for-profit organization. It's Christ-Filled Camping Experience for boys and girls ages 8 to 15. You can call them 452-3943. Or go to www.shilohadventure.com and ask for Laura. Tell them you heard about it on the Refresh Radio broadcast, and she can give you more information on that. I want to get back into the Word today, into Acts, the 10th chapter. Acts, the 10th chapter. Verse number 1, it says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the 9th hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, 'Cornelius.' When he observed him, he was afraid and said, 'What is it, Lord?' So he said to him, 'Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do.' And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to him, he sent them to Joppa." And so we've been talking about the qualifications of Cornelius, what some of the things that he was going through. I do want to remind you that we will be having our vintage service this morning at 11 a.m. And right now we're kind of looking at that and seeing, you know, if there's a sufficient interest in the vintage service to continue. We've been going through the book of Isaiah chapter by chapter. And so if you'd like to join us today at 11 a.m., we'd love to have you. We also have Boys and Girls Ministries tonight at 6:30. We start serving dinner at 6. Classes start at 6:30. They're done by 7:45, and the kids can be home in bed for the last few days of school here. So Also, congratulations to all the graduates that are getting ready to finish their high school career and moving on to the next level of adventures that God has for them. Congratulations. We wish you all of the best and would just encourage you not to blink, because before you'll know it, you'll look back in the rearview mirror and see that college or high school graduation was over three decades in your rearview mirror the way that it is in mine. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. So we didn't get very far yesterday. We were talking about Cornelius, and he gave alms generously to the people. And it says, and he prayed to God always. And he prayed to God always. I believe that communicating with God is an underestimated, underappreciated gift that we have been given. I will say this. I think it's a lot easier to hear from God when you're talking to him. I believe it's a lot easier to see things that the Spirit would bring to you from the Word when you're hearing from your commander in chief. You see, a centurion understood the chain of command. He realized that his orders did not originate with him. They originated with his superior officers. And he brought that same mindset over into his spiritual life and realized that God was his commander in chief. And so he talked to him, he prayed to him, and you know, if we could just, you know, maybe de-Christianize the word prayer just a moment, because a lot of times we think that prayer is something that you got to do on your knees with your eyes closed and your hands folded and all of that. Prayer is quite simply talking to and listening to God. And you can do that while you're driving down the road with your eyes open. You can do that while you're standing at the counter washing dishes. You can do that in your office. I'm not saying that you should never have a set appointment with God. I believe that you should, but I believe that we need to go beyond just the appointments and have a continual dialogue with God, have an ear to hear what God is saying, because there are a number of times in my life where the most important communications I received from heaven didn't happen when I was just specifically 100% focused on God, but instead I was just listening for whatever God might have to say. A little over a week ago, I was in my office on a Monday. I'll take this opportunity to invite you to church with us, 165 North Grove Street, on Sunday morning at 10:30. I was in my office, and all of a sudden I heard a word that challenged me. I was doing administrative work. I was going later that day to our district council launch meeting. And I knew I was going to be home late. So I was just trying to play catch up on emails and process all of this stuff that just comes in, and I can blink and my desk can go from cleaned and organized to what I call Mount Desk, and just things being heaped on top of one another. And it's like, you know, after a while I say, I've got to process this. And so that's what I was doing on Monday. And, I believe I received direction from God. I'm going to be sharing a really important message with the congregation on Sunday morning, this coming Sunday. It's our fifth Sunday celebration. We're going to be having a potluck dinner after the service. We'll probably set up our canopy, our gazebo, and have the picnic tables available. We also have air-conditioned fellowship hall that's available. And it's just a time where we get to enjoy one another's company. If you're a listener to the Refresh radio broadcast, and I've not got to meet you, Maybe this would be the time that you would like to come by and just introduce yourself. We'd love to have you. We almost always have lots and lots of food left over. But Sunday morning, we are going to enjoy the presence of the Lord. And I talked the other day on the radio program, I don't remember which day it was, about how Cornelius gave alms. He was a giver. And, you know, how we had shared that testimony of what God had accomplished in another region on the mission field. But, you know, in reality, we're faced with an impossible task of, you know, a few million believers touching 7 billion people, many of whom are adamantly opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the natural, that is an impossible task. But with God, all things are possible. And so I want to invite you out. Sunday morning, I'm going to be sharing a message. I've got a special little reminder that I'm going to send away with everybody that day. And so come join us for worship. We don't have a Sunday night service that week, but I believe that God is going to do a great work in the body of believers at Merit Assembly of God. We encourage you to be there. So Cornelius here, he was a man of prayer. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer." So let me just throw this challenge out there to you believers. I know that there are a lot of believers that attend church from Palm Bay all the way up. So there may be some who do not have a church home. We would encourage you to find a church, a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church where you are going to be able to grow. And as our youth ministry department says, where you can discover, develop, and deploy the giftings that God has for you. So, goodness gracious, I lost my train of thought. Prayed to God always. So when you go to church, I want to ask you this. When was the last time you went to church and you made it a house of prayer? I'm not talking about just a congregational prayer, you know, a segment of the service, but you said, "God, I just want to come by and spend some time with you because I love you. I appreciate the price that you paid upon the cross for me. And I just want to come and talk to you. I want to honor you with just spending some time with you." Isn't it amazing? If you got an invitation to the White House, whatever president you would vote for, if your favorite politician extended an invitation to you and said, "You know, I've now been elected president of the United States, and I just would like you to come by and we're going to spend some time together." How many of you would just be thrilled with that? Maybe if it's not a politician, maybe it's your favorite sports figure and said, "Hey, I'd like to spend some time with you. I'd like to just, you know, hang out with you for a while." We would be ecstatic with that. And here is our Lord and Savior who came, lived among us, died upon the cross, was buried in the ground, was raised to new life on the third day. And he gives us an invitation, a personal invitation, to come into the presence of the Father and talk with him, and he would be our advocate. He would be the one that would stand beside us and be with us all along our journey. And yet so many times we ignore him. So here's Cornelius, and the reputation says, and he prayed to God always. Now, I believe that one of the great tragedies that is taking place is that there is an effort underway to cut off even our military personnel from having access to biblical materials, having access to godly counsel. And I'm not talking about beating somebody over the head with the gospel, but there was a quote that said, there are no atheists in foxholes. And when you are a soldier, whenever you are in harm's way, you need to know that there's a God that you can call on. You, well, you might be a thief on the cross, you know. You may be on your deathbed right now. And I want you to know that the thief on the cross is a testimony to you that you can call upon Jesus right now, and he will even forgive you of your sins and be with the Lord of your life. And he can say to you, like he said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. It's not too late. I don't care if you're 80, if you're 180. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what you've done. The Holy Spirit is able to bring you to that place where you understand the forgiveness that is available to you through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. With that same thing being said, let me say this. You are never too young to start praying. One of the great testimonies that I believe should be common is that people are brought up in the house of God, trained in the Word of God, discipled, and that they do not have to experience the heartbreak and the misery of sin, but instead they learn to call upon the name of the Lord from a very early age. That's what I encourage you. Don't wait another day. Don't wait another minute. In fact, you don't even have to wait till the end of this program. If you're listening right now, and you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, but you'd like to, we're going to take care of that right now. Just pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross, to be buried, raised to newness of life, and ascended to the right hand of the Father. God, I thank you that he loves me enough to go through that. Would you please forgive me of my sins? Forgive me of the things that I've done that were contrary to your word and they grieved your heart. God, I pray that you would be my Lord, my Savior, my King, and my God from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer and you would like some materials to help you grow in your faith, you can contact us via the information at the end of the program. Our phone number there, our address is there, our email address is there. You can check us out on Facebook, and we would be glad to send you some materials that will help you grow in your faith. But one of the key things that will help you grow is to be in a Bible-believing church where you are going to find believers of like faith, and they will share with you their experience with God's grace, and you can share with them your experience with God's grace, and God can do a great work. So I encourage you to remember that God's house is a house of prayer. I read an article recently and said that transitions or trends is that there is going to be more emphasis on prayer in God's house. It is his house. And so if we're going to be in his house, we should probably talk to him from time to time. It's just a thought. Verse number 3, about the ninth hour of the day, he, Cornelius, saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. I think it's interesting how we cry out to God. We ask him to do the impossible, and then when he does the impossible, then it amazes us. We cry out to God, and let me just say one more thing about prayer. Prayer is not meant to be a monologue. Prayer is supposed to be a dialogue. Prayer is us crying out to God. It says that God knows what we have need of before we even ask. It doesn't mean that we're not supposed to ask. It just means that we are acknowledging to him that he knows what we have need of. He knows us by name, as is indicated right here in Acts chapter 10. And it says that, you know, he has the solution to whatever we have need of. And so don't make your prayer time all about presenting your need list, but spend some time in communicating with him just because you love him. And I don't know, you know, this is a monologue here. I don't have, I don't have phone calls that come in or anything like that. But God's not in it for a monologue. By the way, this doesn't have to be a monologue. It can be a dialogue. You know, if you have something that you'd like to share, you can write me a note and mail it to me. You can call me. You can email me. And I'll address those things on the radio program. Now, you got to realize it might take a few days for me to address that situation. But if you've got a question, you can send it in, and we'll be more than glad to address it. I know this. God's not afraid of the hard questions. Elijah told Elisha, you know, you've asked a very hard thing. You've asked a hard thing. But you know what? God blessed him with the hard thing. Let's be praying and asking God not for just simple solutions, but for God's solutions that are more than sufficient to deal with any challenge. And so this angel interrupts Cornelius' prayer time, and he says, you know, Cornelius says, "What is it, Lord? What do you want? What do you want?" That's an interesting question to ask God. When was the last time you asked God, what do you want in this situation? Do you want me to have this job? You see, I've been senior pastoring for 22 and a half years. I've been in ministry for 32 years. I've been preaching for probably 34 years. No, more than that. 36 years. I've been preaching. Goodness gracious. And so I've seen a lot of things. I've seen people make a lot of decisions. And one of the things that I notice is that people, even Christians, make decisions a lot of times with very unspiritual reasons. You know, I got offered a job here in Florida while I was working in Texas. Now, I was driving 81 miles each way. I want you to know I didn't accept the job here in Florida because it meant it would be a shorter commute. I didn't make it because it would be more money. I actually took a pay cut to come here. You see, I asked God a long time ago to be my Lord, and that meant that he would direct my path. He would order my steps. And so my thing is, when they offered me that job, I said, you know what? I'm going to have to pray about it. I'm going to have to pray about it. And so I called my wife and asked her, and she told me that she had already been fasting and praying about it. Guys, your wives may be ahead of you on the curve. they might have an ear tuned into the Spirit, and so it might behoove you every once in a while to listen to your wife. And all the women said, amen. You know, on the same hand, guys, you may be further along. And in that case, I encourage you to do this. Lead in love. Lead in love. But I encourage you, whenever you're faced with a decision, ask God, what do you want in this situation? Do you want me to have this car? Do you want me to have this house? Do you want me to have this job? What if our relationships were, God, is this the relationship you want for me? It's just a thought, because I've seen a lot of people make decisions, and they made them for some good reasons. I'm just not sure every decision was made with a God reason. And so I encourage you, don't be afraid to ask God, what do you want? Isn't that why? That's why I read the Word. I read the Word because I want to know what God wants for me. You know, I saw something here the other day. It was an article. I think it was a commencement address. I'm not going to name the person's name that gave this particular commencement address, but they encouraged the people that they were speaking to go out and make a difference in the world by living true to their values, And on the surface, that sounds very interesting. I mean, it rings true, that we live true to our values, except for the person who made this particular announcement determines their own values. They have rejected the values of God's word. Actually, they're a pretty active opponent against God's word. And so for them, their value doesn't line up with God's value here in his word. And so my question to that person was, who gets to determine the value? Because there are some people who value things that I don't value. There are people who value drugs. I don't value those drugs. I recognize that those are a death style, not a lifestyle. There are people who value sexual promiscuity. I don't value that because I value the way that God defines it. And so my question was, what makes you qualified to set aside God's value system and choose to reestablish your own value system? He is right. If you live by your values and your values do not line up with God's word, you will make a difference in the world. You will make it hard for people to live a healthy and happy and holy life. It's true. So I would encourage you, rather than just establishing your own value system, because I'm not sure that any of us, I'm pretty sure, that all of us on our own fall short in the area of being sufficient to the task of establishing a value system. There's only one who is an expert and can establish eternal values, and that's God. So I encourage you, make a difference in the world. Yes, absolutely. Live by your values. Yes, absolutely. Will that make a difference in the world? Yes, absolutely. But allow those values to be established by God and his word. And that's what I want to say. So you might be facing with a situation right now, and I encourage you, before you make that decision, pray like Cornelius did. And ask him, God, what do you want? What do you want me to do with my life? What career do you want me to do? I encourage you to do that about your church. God, what church do you want me to attend? And so that's, what is it, Lord? What do you want from me? And then when he tells you, don't run from it. Run to it and embrace it. Father, right now, I pray that you'd give every one of us a divine encounter, a desire to talk to you in prayer, to hear from you and do what you want. God bless you. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Hey, this is Mark Vollmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
Blessed be